Do you know what the word Satan means? This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Friday, TGIF, thank God it's Friday, and you know every Friday can be a good Friday if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Have you done that yet? Do it in your heart. It doesn't have to be a big emotional experience. It doesn't have to be lightning and thunder and angelic cheerleaders. Accept Jesus as your Savior. Pray and live your life like you like you've made that commitment. Like Jesus makes a difference in your life. Why did Jesus come into the world? To save us from our sins. To make us his friends. To invite us to that friendship. And listen to today's scripture, okay? Because it's going to be an exchange between Jesus and Peter. It's from Matthew 16, verses 21 to 23. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." End of the scripture passage. Okay, so now you know why I asked you at the beginning of the program. Do you know what the word Satan means? Because it's in the scripture passage, the word Satan. Well, let me tell you, primarily it means opponent, adversary. Not so much the devil, although we know that's the name that people have given to the devil, because obviously the devil opposes God's will, opposes God's kingdom, tries to get people to go to hell instead of to heaven. So Satan's appropriate there. But once you understand that Satan fundamentally means opponent, adversary, once you see what Peter is doing here in this scripture passage that I shared with you, he's trying to stop Jesus from fulfilling Jesus' mission in life. Why did Jesus come into the world? To save us from our sins. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. Not to condemn the world, but to save it. And Jesus says in John 15, "No greater love does a person have than to lay down his life for his friends." What was going on in Peter's head to make him come out and oppose Jesus' mission? When he explained how he was going up to Jerusalem and suffer many things and be put to death and rise on the third day. Well, it seems to me that Peter was afraid. Fear is such a fundamental motivator. Secondly, Peter had a different image of what the Messiah would be than the way Jesus is talking right now in the scripture passage. Peter expects an earthly Messiah who will set up a Jerusalem that will go back to the wealth and the times of Solomon and the respect and the power. He does not want to hear about Jesus dying. That's not in his game plan. Peter's hoping that he will play an important role in Jesus' earthly kingdom. And we know that he will play an important role because he will be the rock on which Jesus builds his church. But the fact of the matter, inside Peter's head, he's starting to get real nervous with this talk of Jesus when Jesus talks about being handed over to the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he's going to be killed, and he's going to rise on the third day. That's outside Peter's experiences. And Peter doesn't want to think outside the box because he wants to think of a tranquil Jesus who's slowly moving, as he has these years now, through his preaching and through his actions, to unite people, to get people to be a church, a people of God, the body of Christ. Okay, let's talk about your life personally, okay? Let's talk about the Satans in your life. Satan meaning the opposition. You might have that right in your house. People oppose you going to daily mass. People oppose you reading the scripture. People oppose you for your personal moral convictions. So what the devil does is he uses other people to oppose you. And we have to stand strong. Just like Jesus, as much as he loved Peter, as much as he had a special role for Peter to play in the early church, he will not let Peter, for one moment, try to get him to hesitate, stop, and move in a different direction than the way Jesus believes he's supposed to move. Okay. Well, Peter has to be flabbergasted when Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan," when he speaks very calmly about his mission in life. He's going to be lifted up. Well, lifted up is a sure sign to the Jews of crucifixion. That had to send Peter really off the charts. He's not going to let it, though. He's not going to let Peter be a stumbling block for him to fulfill his mission. You know, so if you are being tempted by Satan to tempt God, how can you avoid doing that? Well, we know all the resources that are available to us. It's the way we pray. It's the way we read the scripture and we fortify ourselves with those scripture passages. We memorize. Yeah, you can do that. A little practice. Memorize scripture. So we can use the scripture as, pep talks when we find ourselves under the pressure of the devil to compromise our commitment or to turn our back on God. We avoid it by recognizing the Christ who dwells in us. Okay. I love when Paul was speaking in Rome, in Greece, in Athens, and he says to the people, referring to Christ, "In him we live and move and have our being." In him we live and move and have our being. So what's that? What's that an invitation to? To realize that God doesn't break into our life from the outside. God breaks out of our life from the inside. In him we live and move and have our being. We are really in two worlds. We're in the natural world and the supernatural world. By our baptism, we are also living in the supernatural world. It's not been completely all of our life having already been handed over to the supernatural world. So as we pace ourselves through this life, as we go through this life, we're going to have to remember that we have more than just the natural world to support us when we face difficult moments. We have the supernatural. We claim that through our baptism. We've been branded with Jesus Christ. Paul will say in Galatians 2:20, "I don't live anymore, Christ Jesus lives in me." And when that happens then, okay, when we become a powerhouse of prayer, we're able to spot the temptations immediately and dismiss them. We don't go into the whining, we don't give in to the whining or the scare factors that the devil is trying to always point out to us. We claim the power. We do not put God to the test. We don't allow ourselves to be put to the test. We know what the word Satan means. It means adversary. It means opponent. And this one's powerful because, you know, the devils, after they were thrown out of heaven, they roamed this earth. They came to realize that this was not the one we're on. So we turn right now and we say, "Dear God, never let me be a stumbling block to your will being fulfilled in my life, my family life, my church life, my world. Don't, Lord, don't let that happen. Challenge me. Remind me. Embarrass me. Whatever it takes, I'm asking you to do that so that I am faithful to you, that I'm not a stumbling block, that I don't oppose your will in my life." Amen, amen. Who are our prayer partners today? Well, our prayer partners today are the National Guard. These are the men and women who will, when there's a crisis or when there's a need to defend our country, leave their jobs, leave their families, sometimes on short notice, and go out and fulfill their mission. They're the National Guard. They're committed to keeping our country safe. Today's food for thought goes like this. In order to receive direction from God, you must be willing to receive correction from God. Well, that's perfect for today's reading about Jesus talking to Peter, saying to him, "Get behind me, Satan." Today's small attempt to make you smile or laugh. I like this a lot. A minister told his congregation, "Next week I plan to preach about the sin of lying. To help you understand my sermon, I want you all to read Mark 17. The following Sunday, as he prepared to deliver his sermon, the minister asked for a show of hands. He wanted to know how many had read Mark 17. Every hand in the church went up. The minister smiled and said, "Mark has only 16 chapters. I will now proceed with my sermon on the sin of lying." Good, right? Well, contact me, Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Let me hear from you. I love to hear from my listeners. It's such a shot in the arm to know that people actually listen. To those of you who have contacted me and said you do listen, thank you. God bless you. You want to have special prayers said by me for your intentions? Send them to me. I will be faithful in storming heaven for you and with you. You want to receive my newsletter? No charge for it. It comes out 6 times a year. It's a way to communicate with me, find out what my preaching are, my latest resource book, booklet, DVD, CD. You want to tell somebody in another part of the country where I will be preaching to come and listen to me? You find out through the newsletter. It's the only place I put my preaching schedule. Okay, Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. If you'd write me, drop me also a check. Put a check in that envelope. Make it out to TASH, Inc. It's for my hospital for the poor in Mexico. Please, folks, if you're generous, God will be generous to you. I need your help. TASH, Inc., Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there's darkness, light. And where there's sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore.